RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome to English Bulletin program of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, listener. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. The Asia Development Bank ADB launches meetings Asians infrastructure needs report. Police said Interpol issued red notices for three snooped assets. Indonesia to encourage cybersecurity in Asia Pacific regional preparatory meeting. Now the news in detail. The Asia Development Bank ADB launched its annual report on meeting Asian infrastructure needs in Jakarta on Tuesday. In his remarks, ADB Deputy Chief Economist Jushon Zuan stated that developing Asia will need to invest in the infrastructure sector amounting to $26 trillion US dollars for 2016-23 period. He said the number is needed if the region is focusing to maintain its growth momentum, eradicate poverty, and respond to climate change. Jushon Zuan explained that the total investment needed the power, transport, and telecommunication will be prioritized to support countries' development. In addition, Jushon Zuan also mentioned that the annual ADB report also provided inputs possibly taken to urge the infrastructure development in Asia.
This report basically has three objectives. First is to examine how infrastructure conditions vary across countries in developing Asia. And the second is to update ADB's estimates of infrastructure investment needs over 2016 and 2030. So the previous ADB study was for a period of 2010 to 2020. Now we upgrade to 2016 to 2030. And the third is to discuss policy actions. What are the policy actions needed to meet infrastructure needs?
Furthermore, Jushon Zuan stated that countries in Asia region should conduct regulation and institutional reform to make investment more attractive for private investors. He also encourages to generate pipeline or bank cable project for public-private partnership. Jushon further committed to supporting Asian development by sharing expertise and knowledge to identify, design, and implement good projects. ADB is scaling up operation, integrating more advanced and cleaner technology into projects and streamlining procedures. ADB will also promote investment-friendly policy and regulatory and institutional reforms. National Police Polri said on Tuesday, March 21, 2017, in Jakarta, that Interpol has issued red notices, the closest to an international arrest warrant for three Chinese executives suspected of fraud linked to a more than $800 million Sinopet oil terminal development in Indonesia. National Police spokesman Boy Rafi Amar said the three red notices had been published for those wanted people. He said Indonesian authorities filed the request for Interpol assistance on February 21st and identified the Sinopet executives named in the red notices as San Jun, Feng Sigan, and Ye Sijun. The West Point terminal was touted to be Southeast Asian largest and was initially expected to be operational by mid-2016, but has faced a series of setbacks, including lawsuit filed by Indonesian shareholders in November. The project in Indonesian Batam Free Trade Zone to south of Singapore is 95% owned by Sinopec Canton Holdings, a subsidiary of Sinopec. Sinopec Cantons bought into the project in January 2012, aiming to develop a 2.6 million ton storage facility worth more than $800 million. Indonesia will raise the issue of cybersecurity to the Asia-Pacific Regional Preparatory Meeting 2017 held ahead of the World Telecommunication Development Conference, WTDC, scheduled for October 2017 in Buenos Aires. Chief of Multilateral Institution of Communication and Informatics Ministry Sri Sunardi said on Monday in Jakarta that Indonesia wants cyber norms to be incorporated to the draft declaration which will be brought to the WTDC 2017. He noted, if the issue of cybersecurity is concerned, Indonesia wants cyber norms to be incorporated to it. The Asia Pacific Regional Preparatory Meeting is held in Bali from March 21st to 23rd. The meeting is preceded by Asia Pacific Regional Development Forum, RDF, held on March 20th. Sunardi said Indonesia will strive for the inclusion of cyber norms in the draft as the International Telecommunication Union, ITU, has never touched it. It will be a formidable struggle Indonesia will face. ITU has so far dealt with the telecommunication infrastructure and telecommunication regulations. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Australian Ambassador to Indonesia Paul Grigson said that Indonesia and Australia need to continue cooperation in the defense field to address challenges that threaten security and stability in the Indo-Pacific region. For his part, the two countries need to frequently hold a bilateral meeting between the two countries' defense ministers, like the one held at the fleet base East Garden Island, Sydney, Australia, on March 16, 2017. He said in Jakarta on Monday that he thinks the two countries can jointly benefit from defense cooperation. He said regular meetings held to discuss the common interests of two countries also serve as a means to share sciences and experiences to address a wide range of global challenges in the defense field. At the meeting, Indonesian Defense Minister Michel Rashidu and his Australian counterpart Mary Spain discussed better cooperation and global security dynamics. Around 400 students from a number of campuses took to the street in Jayapura Papua on Monday, asking the government to close PT Freeport Indonesia, which has been covering gold mines in Papua. The student, Karen Banner Reddin, close Freeport, said that local people have no significant gain from the operation of the company around 50 years. One of the students said, close Freeport has caused extensive damage to the environment in Papua. The student railed in front of the city post office before they moved to the city center with the police on guard. Popular local man watching the rally said over the past week, there have always been people railing in the street demanding the same thing. And on Monday, a group of 50 people calling themselves independent traditional community rallied around the Timika Inda cycle calling for the termination of Freeport's contract in Papua. Vincent Onioma, a spokesman of the group, said the local people had never been involved and their interests had not been considered since Freeport started operation in Papua in 1967. The last item, the Pasir International Lumberjack Festival will kick off in Singkarian Park in West Nusa Tenggara capital city of Mataram on August 18, 2017 in the hope of attracting more foreign tourists. Festival organizer Ada Evans Asia Director Daniel Albert Yap told reporters in Jakarta on Monday that the three-day event would present dozens of national and international jazz musicians. The foreign musicians will include David Gomes, Malaysia, Julian Banks, Australia, Ko Sax, Thailand, Michael Manson from the United States, and Rice Sebastian from India, as well as members of jazz groups Cassiopeia III from Japan and the Asia All-Star Quartet Hong Kong, the Philippines, Singapore, and Thailand. Meanwhile, national artists who will perform at the free event include Barry Likumahua, Harpe Maleleho, Iwayan Balawan, and members of Gilan Ramadan Project. Yap said the Lombok Jazz Festival will become a new icon for Lombok tourism. It will also become a meeting platform for partnership among artists, business players, government officials, association executives, and society members. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled President Joko Widodo wants the revision of law on migrant workers' protection to be immediately completed. Some time ago, President Joko Widodo asked the National Agency for Placement and Protection of Indonesian Workers, BNPTKI, to soon complete the revision of laws on the protection of Indonesian migrant workers, TKI. In the future, the model of services must be unified and integrated so that anyone who wants to work abroad can access the service easily and have their data connected. So far, the law number 39/2004, which contains the protection and placement of Indonesian workers overseas, has not effectively protected them. There are still many Indonesian migrant workers involved in criminal cases, even facing the death penalty abroad. Though the law has set the placement and protection of migrant workers, apparently it is still on the placement mechanism only and does not lead to their protection. Indeed, the protection on Indonesian migrant workers can be realized with efforts of political advocacy, especially when there are death penalty sentences to them. It's time for the government to further improve its role. If the government has established good bilateral relations with countries of destination of migrant workers, many problems can be solved. Take, for example, when President Joko Widodo visited Saudi Arabia in 2015. At the time, some of those workers who were involved in criminal cases and threatened to death penalty could be sought forgiveness through diplomatic channels in a bilateral talks with King Salman. In addition, other important elements are regarding with the legality of departure of migrant workers who often have problems and have not received a maximum supervision. The problems mentioned above have become the basis of President Joko Widodo's unrest in terms of addressing the workers, the regulation and the implementation in the field. Many things must be improved, especially in terms of human resources. The workers must have skills and knowledge, especially legal knowledge, in the countries concerned. Their innocence could only be exploited by employers who accidentally have a bad temper. Without any protection, the workers are open corner on the issue of penalties and fines. The government will face problems in defending the workers who do not care about their legality. Hopefully, after the revision of the laws on the protection of Indonesian migrant workers is completed, various problems can be solved. The Indonesian migrant workers decide being protected since sleeping and arriving at their homeland. They, as the foreign exchange heroes, are visible, even obligatory with protection. Listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello there, this is Radio World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with 1965. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. leads 3,200 people on the start of the third and finally successful civil rights march from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama. The Selma to Montgomery marches were three protest marches held in 1965 along the 54 miles or 87 kilometers highway from Selma, Alabama in the USA to the state capital of Montgomery. The marches were organized by activists to demonstrate the desire of African American citizens to exercise their constitutional right to vote in defiance of segregationist repression, and were part of a broader voting rights movement underway in Selma and throughout the American South. By highlighting racial injustice, they contributed to passage that year of the Voting Rights Act, a landmark federal achievement of the civil rights movement. Next is from 1968, Battle of Karameh in Jordan between the Israeli Defense Forces and the combined forces of the Jordanian Armed Forces and PLO. The Battle of Karameh was a 15-hour military engagement between the Israeli Defense Forces, IDF, and combined forces of the Palestine Liberation Organization, PLO, and the Jordanian Armed Forces, JAF. In the Jordanian town of Karameh on 21st of March 1968 during the War of Attrition. After the Six-Day War in 1967, the PLO and Fatah stepped up their guerrilla attacks against Israel from Jordanian soil using the border town of Karameh as their headquarters. The Israeli invasion was to destroy the Palestinian militant camps at Karameh and capture Yasser Arafat. Though Israel assumed the Jordanian army would choose to not get involved in the battle, the latter deployed heavy fire on the attacking Israeli forces while fighting alongside the Palestinians. The engagement marked the first known deployment of suicide bombers by Palestinian forces. The Israelis withdrew or were repulsed after a day-long battle, having destroyed most of the Karameh camp and taken around 140 PLO members prisoners. The battle resulted in the issuance of the United Nations Security Council Resolution 248, which condemned Israel for violating the ceasefire line and its disproportionate use of force. The last is from 2003. Umar Wirahadi Kusuma, the fourth Indonesian vice president, dies. General retired Wirahadi Kusuma is Vice President of Indonesia who served 4 years from 1983 to 1988. In 1945, Umar Wirahadi Kusuma, like many other young men of his age, joined the People's Security Army, the forerunner to the TNI or the Indonesian National Military. His career began after taking part in overcoming the Indonesian Communist Party PKI rebellion in 1948, as well as in the fighting against insurgency of Revolutionary Government of the Republic of Indonesia or PRRI in Sumatra in 1961. In 1965, Umar became Commander of Army Strategic Reserve Command. In 1967, he became Deputy Chief of Army Staff before becoming Army Chief of Staff in 1969. In 1973, his active military career ended. In March 1983, Umar reached the peak of his career. Suharto, who was re-elected as the president, chose Umar to be his deputy until March 1988 when he was replaced by Sudarmono. Umar Wirahadi Kusuma died on March 21, 2003 in Jakarta due to heart and lung problems. Well, that was Today in History. Over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this day in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is our arrival service, Voice of Indonesia with Focus. The theme of today's focus is that President Joko Widodo inaugurates new transboundary ports infrastructure. The government of Indonesia continues its commitment to boost economic development in the country's outer or border regions by building regional infrastructure that becomes the entrance for export and imports. President Joko Widodo on last Friday inaugurated Aru transboundary ports in Sambas, West Kalimantan. On the occasion, the president was accompanied by his wife Madam Iriana Joko Widodo, Coordinating Minister for Human and Cultural Development Puan Maharani, Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung, Minister of Public Works and Housing Basuki Hadi Mulyono, the Military Commander General Gatot Nurmantio, and West Kalimantan Governor Cornelis. The president expects the transboundary post that had been built and inaugurated as Nanggapado in Kapuas Hulu and Arut in Sambas can be a driver of economic growth to foster the local economy. With the integration of the integrated Arut transboundary post, there are 7 similar posts in West Kalimantan province which had been inaugurated by the president. As quoted from SecretariatCabinet.com, President Joko Widodo said that the Indonesian government wants the transboundary post to be used and access to export local products to neighboring countries. The president said that the post will accelerate economic growth at the border. He also pointed to the one in Badau, which has already been used to export 7,000 metric tons of palm oil, and this year it will rise to 120,000 metric tons. President Joko Widodo said this is an opportunity that must be used through the transboundary post. He hopes the Arut post, which is equipped with adequate infrastructure, could be used by the public, not only as an immigration and guarantee and the custom office alone. People are expected to take advantage of the transboundary ports to grow the economy in Sambas district. Therefore, the president asks heads of regions, governors and regions to prepare products which are competitive and in good quality in order to be accepted by the export market. Orange, pepper and dragon fruit from Sambas can be boosted for export. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana. Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. The Asian Development Bank IDB launched his annual report on meeting Asian infrastructure needs in Jakarta on Tuesday. In his remarks, IDB Deputy Chief Economist Joshua Swan stated that developing Asia will need to invest in infrastructure amounting to $26 trillion for 2016-2030 period. National Police Polri said on Tuesday in Jakarta that Interpol has issued red notices to the closest to international arrest warrant for three Chinese executives suspected of fraud linked to a more than $800 million Sinopet oil terminal development in Indonesia. Indonesia will raise the issue of cybersecurity to the Asia-Pacific Regional Preparatory Meeting 2017 held ahead of the World Telecommunication Development Conference, WTDC, scheduled for October 2017 in Buenos Aires. Australian Ambassador to Indonesia Paul Grishan said that Indonesia and Australia need to continue cooperation in defense field to address challenges that threaten security stability in Indo-Pacific region. For its part, the two countries need to frequently hold bilateral meetings between the two countries' defense ministers, like the one held at the Philippines Base East Garden Island, Sydney, Australia, March 16, 2017. The government of Indonesia will seek to put further of Indonesian waters in the list of particularly sensitive sea area, PSSA, the Mukan after the incident early this month of tourists, both NP Caledonian Sky Imagine Rare type of ridge of rocks in West Papuan Raja Ampat. Around 400 students from a number of campuses took the street in Jayapura, Papua on Monday, asking the government to close PT Freeport Indonesia, which has beat copper and gold mines in Papua. The first ever international Lumberjack Festival will kick off at Singkarayan Park in West Nusa Tenggara capital city of Mataram on August 18, 2017, in the hope of attracting more foreign tourists. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 95 to 5 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at english.rriworldservice.com. Listener, our next segment is Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, welcome to the regular Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you traveling to South Kalimantan Province. Stay tuned. Listener, March 21 is commemorated as the International Forest Day annually. The day is commemorated to raise awareness of all people to maintain and preserve the forest, because the forest has an important role in human life. Forest is the place to keep most biodiversity, with over 80% of terrestrial animal species, plants and insects. Forest also provide shelter, livelihood and security for the people who depend their life on forest. In addition, the forest is now also function as a tourism object while maintaining the forest sustainability. On the 9th commemoration of the International Forest Day, we invite you to know one of Indonesia's forest tourism locations, namely hutan meranti putih or white meranti forests. Not just for traveling, you also can participate to caring and participate to keep the forest preservation. Meranti Forest Ecotourism is located at Seblimbingan Village, Pulau Laut Utara Subdistrict, Kota Baru Regency, South Kalimantan Province. Meranti Forest presenting beautiful landscapes with biodiversity, particularly Meranti trees. To visit the Meranti Forest from Banjarmasin, the capital of South Kalimantan, you can fly by Kalstar Aviation Airline, operated daily from Banjarmasin to Kota Baru. The distance only takes about 40 minutes. From Kota Baru, the forest can be reached by land transportation for approximately 30 minutes. Listener, the 8.3 hectares Meranti Forest is largely overgrown by white Meranti plants. White Meranti, with Latin name of Soria polyandra, was planted in 1976. Entering the tourism area, you are required to pay the entrance fee of 10,000 rupiah. Stepping into the tourism area, fresh air will immediately greet you. Beautiful scenery with thick green of Meranti trees are ready to welcome you. Common people think the forest is haunted, but the impression is not realized on the white Meranti tourism forest as the sun broke through on the saplings of Meranti trees and illuminating the surrounding nature. This certainly makes a lot of tourists comfortable to go around the white Meranti forest. Listener, Meranti forest areas not only presents a natural scenery, but here you also can see the breeding of animals. At the bottom of the forest, inhabited by animals such as monkeys, raccoons, and python. While right in the middle of the mountains, there are breeding birds. At the top of Meranti forest, you can see the spot of deer breeding and Kota Baru type deer. From this location, you also can look away from the Kota Baru beautiful scenery. On the dusk, you can simultaneously see the beauty of the sunset. Moreover, you can enjoy a picnic under the shade of white Meranti trees. However, you must keep the cleanliness of the forest area. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Hutan Meranti Putih or White Meranti Forest. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
Listener, thank you for still being with us, the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestions or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia, or to our email address at info@voi.co.id and english@voi.co.id. Listener, now let's listen to our segment, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is Area Reward Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is membeli baju, or in English, buying a dress. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice. You can follow after me. Membeli. Membeli in English, to buy. Baju. Baju, dress. Memakai. Memakai, to wear. Hari ini. Hari ini, today. Cantik. Cantik, pretty. Suka. Suka, to like. Minggu lalu. Minggu lalu, last week. Lihat. Lihat, to see. Temani. Temani, to accompany. Ingin. Ingin, to want to. Sama. Sama, the same. Waktu luang. Waktu luang, spare time. Pergi. Pergi, to go. Bersama. Bersama, together. Next is a conversation on membeli baju, or in English, buying a dress. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Rita and Anna at the office. Anna, baju yang kamu pakai hari ini sangat cantik. Anna, baju yang kamu pakai hari ini sangat cantik. In English, Anna, the dress you are wearing today is so pretty. Terima kasih. Terima kasih, thank you. Saya suka baju kamu. Saya suka baju kamu. I like your dress. Saya baru membelinya minggu yang lalu. Saya baru membelinya minggu yang lalu. I've just bought it last week. Pantas saja belum pernah saya melihat kamu memakai ini. Pantas saja belum pernah saya melihat kamu memakai baju ini. No wonder I've never seen you wearing this dress before. Kamu beli di mana? Kamu beli di mana? Where did you buy it? Di Central Park. Di Central Park, at Central Park. Bisa temani saya ke Central Park? Bisa temani saya ke Central Park? Will you accompany me to Central Park? Saya sangat ingin membeli baju sama seperti kamu. Saya sangat ingin membeli baju sama seperti kamu. I really want to buy a dress like yours. Baiklah, jika ada waktu luang, kita pergi bersama. Baiklah, jika ada waktu luang, kita pergi bersama. Okay, if I have spare time, we'll go together. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, sampai berjumpa lagi.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we will present you dangdut songs. Stay tuned. Listener, you have just listened to the song entitled Sensi, sung by Elfie Zubai. The song, which was released in 2014, tells the story of a young couple of lovers. Like the relationship of young people in general, Elfie powers some intrigues such as jealousy, suspicion, and bickering in the simple lyrics and very cool music to Jake. The song also offers a fresh concept with witty lyrics and closer to daily life. The single of Sensi itself was composed by Ukat and produced by Jan Juhana. Elfie's debut single has successfully catapulted her at the dangdut music in the country. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Angsa Putih by Elfie Zubai. Happy listening. The singer, who was born in 1986, began her career in the dangdut music world in the country by following a dangdut singing contest in a private television station in 2004. Although she only won as for major position, Elfie remained on her decision to choose dangdut as the way of her life. She then released several albums and singles. Not only singing, Elfie also active in the dangdut organization. She also active in the Union of Artists and member of Melody Dangdut Indonesia and Royalty Dangdut Indonesia Award as secretary. In 2016, Elfie has launched a new single entitled Angsa Putih. The song that implies messages about expectation and faithfulness of a woman. With the release of the song, Elfie wished she could continue to work and exist in dangdut music world. The song is the result of her collaboration with Maskit as arranger and songwriter, while a music video directed by Mehmet MMT Studio. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today of Music Corner, let's listen to the last song entitled Tergantung Cinta by Elfie Zubai. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Bersama tanpa ikatan bahagia. bersamamu. Jalani cinta yang menggebu, sepertinya tak terpisah. Tapi tak cukup untukmu, waktu dan perhatianku selalu salah di depanmu. Dan segalanya telah berubah, kau pilih cinta yang lain. Ku tahu semua salahku, salahku. Bila waktu dapat ku putar, ku hapus luka hatimu. Ku beri semua cintaku untukmu.
Aku jatuh cinta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.